Good morning. I am looking forward to diving into the scriptures with you today. I have my stool, I have my cup of coffee, I have my scriptures, and today we're just gonna teach a little bit. We're just gonna search the scriptures a little bit. In searching the scriptures, I've had one of the ones that we recently discussed been brought back to my mind over and over again. Jamie and I were watching an episode of West Wing the other night, and in this episode, a tornado had torn through Oklahoma, and as the president goes to visit this tornado-rocked city, the people begin to talk about why this happened, why God would allow, why a creator would cause, and all of these questions that we ask when bad things happen. And we began to have a discussion, and I was reminded of this verse from Psalm 139. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, God. You hem me in. Behind and before, you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty to obtain. I've thought about that verse a lot, because when we explained it and when we talked about it before, we had to try to chew, we had to try to fathom, we had to try to reach our hands out and grasp exactly what that meant. What does it mean that God's knowledge is too lofty, too bountiful, too wonderful for us to even fathom, to even handle, to attain? It means this: we can't get it. There is so much that God knows. There is so much that God understands. There is so much that God comprehends that even a second of it would absolutely overwhelm us. It would absolutely blow our minds. We can't fathom how God weaves, creates, becomes, is everywhere from the beginning of time to the end of time. Everything all at once. We can't understand His omniscience, His omnipresence, or His omnipotence. And I keep getting brought back to that verse, to this, what I want to call a mystery. And that reminded me that we just recently spoke about hope. And I wanted to think about mysteries, and I wanted to think about understanding, and I wanted to think about hope. And that took me to this passage of Scripture in Colossians. So we're going to work it down through Colossians, and we're going to be in chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 21. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So here's what we have. We have Paul, who is writing to the Colossian church, to the church at Colossae, and he is saying, let me remind you that there was a time when you were separated from God. Let me remind you that there was a time that you were apart from the God that created you, and not just created you, but created you to be with Him. But through Christ, this is toward the end or the middle end of the New Testament, and that means that Jesus has already come, He's already lived, He's already died, He's already resurrected, okay? Because of Christ, who took our sins away, we now have a freedom. We have a faith. We have a firm and established hope in the gospel or the good news, and that is that Jesus loved us, He came, He died to free us from our sins. Reading on, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission of God. He gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. Okay, so Paul is about to reveal something. Paul is about to tell us something exciting, something amazing. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I want to go back to a few words. I want to go back to a few words to help us understand what they are. All right? And they're big words, but we need to hear them over and over again because they're easy to forget, or they're easy to just let go of, and we can just say the word salvation or change and we just move on. But I want to talk about these three words really quickly. And they are justification, sanctification, and glorification. Again, justification, sanctification, and glorification. And very simply put, those are the processes, those are the stages of what happens to a believer, what happens to you, what happens to me, when it comes to what Jesus has done, is doing, and will do in us. It's kind of a past, a present, and a future thing. Now, that doesn't entail it completely, but it does help. What is justification? That's when God saves us. That's what God did on the cross. That's when he paid the price for our sins. He justified us before the Lord, all right? Justice had to be done. We're sinners, and sin separates us from God. So if justice has to come, then we are to be punished. But Jesus Christ was punished for us, all right? So here's what happened. Christ gave his life for ours, and he justified us in that moment. Now, sanctification is the middle section. That is the going on now part of the process in our lives, okay? And here's what that means. God, if he is allowed to do so, will continually work, listen, in us. God, through Christ Jesus, and through his Holy Spirit, will continue to work in us, shape us, mold us, and make us into the image of himself, all the way up through to glorification. And glorification is that moment in which we become with God, become like God, when the work is complete, as promised in Philippians, he who began a good work in us will be faithful to carry it on to completion. He began the work, he's carrying out the work, and one day he will complete the work. And that work won't glorify us. Everything that happens, happens so that we may glorify God, so that he may be glorified in us. All right? So as we go back to the scripture, here's what Paul tells us. There was a time that we were alienated from God. Verse 21, once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy. All right? So there was a time we were separated, but justification occurred, and he is in the process of getting you ready to be presented holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. All right? Justification and the process of sanctification. If you continue with your faith, not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel you have heard and has been proclaimed and which I preach. All right? So our job on this earth is to do what Paul says here. This is the gospel that you have heard that I now preach. What is that? To tell everyone what Christ has done for us. Now, as we continue on, here's what it says. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Now here's what Paul is trying to say. Paul's trying to say, I get it. I'm excited for you, church. I'm excited for us beginning to understand that Jesus did die for our sins, that Jesus did rise from the grave, that Jesus did save us. But he also mentions that there's something lacking in regards to what happened. He mentions that there's something that is missing. And then he says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word in its fullness. He said, so here's what I'm still working toward. And I think, like I'm getting excited now, Paul begins to get excited. Paul says, there's still more. There's more to be grasped. There's more to be understood. And he's really excited about it because he's about to reveal, and that's the only way to put it, he's about to have a revelation laid out from him to us that is directly from God, all right, that is beyond our understanding. And you say, well, why is he going to tell us if it's beyond our understanding? Well, I'm going to explain it because Paul explains it and because, well, that's what I'm here for. So here's where he goes. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, okay? This is something that was not known prior to Christ. Listen to me. This is something Moses could not have known. Abraham could not have known. The prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, could not have known what we're about to find out here. There was a time when this not only was not known, it could not be known. I want to read to you, all right? I want to read to you some different versions of the next verse. Here's what it says in my Bible, the New International Version, all right? This is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, it says in 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for the ages, but is now disclosed to the saints. So we're talking about the mystery. Here's what the Amplified Bible says. The mystery of which was hidden for ages and generations from angels and men, but is now revealed to his holy people, or the saints. All right, this is Nelson. This teaching is the secret truth that was hidden since the beginning of time. It was hidden from everyone, but now it's made known to God's holy people. So nobody knew it before, but God's kids, God's people can find it, can have it now. Montgomery says, that secret truth, which although hidden from ages and generations of old, has now been manifested, has now been made manifest to his saints. The New Living Translation, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it's been revealed to holy people. Phillips, the sacred mystery, which up to now has been hidden in every age, but is now as clear as daylight to those who love God. Young's literal translation, the secret that has been hid from the ages, but now manifested again in his saints. This is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do we continue? How do we continue from that moment of our salvation through the process of sanctification to get to our hope in the glorious coming, the glorious newness, the glorious revelation of Christ? We get there by Christ. Well, Craig, we know that. We understand that. No. We get there by grasping this mystery that Christ isn't around us, that Christ isn't through us, that Christ not only died for us, but Christ is actually within us. There is a reason that Abraham could not have known, that Moses could not have known, that Jeremiah could not have known, that Jonah could not have known, that Ezra could not have known, that Ezekiel or Daniel could not have known. The reason they could not have known is because Christ had not yet come. the mystery of God was revealed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal God came down in Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, and did a thing, all right? Lived sinless, died holy, covered in sin, made unholy, separated from his Father, and then resurrected on the third day, which we will celebrate in a few weeks. He did those things. And that is wonderful and that is marvelous. But this is the mystery, that that same God that came from heaven to earth, that same God that descended back into glory, that same God that sent his Holy Spirit here, Paul says, this is how we get there. Christ lives in us. It is beyond our understanding. The knowledge is too great for us to get. To become glorious, we have to get only this, that we get there through Christ, and we get there not because he did something for us, but because he lives in us. He leads us. He guides us. He makes a way. He makes us holy. He is in the process of doing the work. That's what Paul meant in Philippians. He who began the good work will be faithful to complete it. The problem is we don't tap into he. We let him do the saving work. We get baptized to celebrate the saving work. And then we go about the process of trying to make ourselves disciples. Stop. Stop. Christ in us is our hope. When we fail, he doesn't. When we're weak, he isn't. That's the mystery. That's the mystery that is revealed to everyone who would know God if they would open their eyes. But more important, if they would open their hearts. I remember singing a song when I was younger. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. What, right here. Figuring out that we have to give up in order to succeed. That we have to fail in order to finally be complete. That we have to die in order to live. In John, it tells us, if a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, or if a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The mystery is this: the hope that we have of our glorification in Christ does not come by anything we say, do, or even remotely think of comprehending. It comes from allowing Christ to do what Christ has always done inside our hearts. The hardest part of this is some of us don't know this because we can't mentally grasp it. But the harder part is that some of us know exactly what this is because we feel deep within our spirit the grinding of ourselves against Christ, of our old nature against the new nature that is being revealed to us. The grinding of what should be dead, what Christ came to take care of, against his spirit trying to work in us. And they're pulling against each other. The natural man against the spiritual God. We know because we feel shame. We know because we feel guilt. We know because we feel anger. And we lash out at anyone or anything that tries to tell us that we're doing it wrong, or we're experiencing it wrong, or we can't get there on our own. But we can't. And the reason it's so hard to get is because it's a mystery. Mysterium. The Greek word here is has to do with like rituals in a fraternity. Things that your brothers know, your sisters know if you're in a sorority, things that you share that are only revealed to the intimate few, to the tight-knit group. And they can only be revealed by someone who's experienced them before. That's why Paul calls it a mystery. Because the people in the Old Testament, the people prior to Christ, couldn't know it before. Because here's what happened. Christ came and revealed himself to us. And then Paul reveals to us that the mystery is Christ inside of us. That's it. That's what we can be excited about. That's what we can have hope in. We can have hope in the fact that Christ came, gave, lived, died for us, and will do all things, and will accomplish his purposes, and will bring glory to himself if we will let him in us. Let's pray. God, that's what we want you to do. We want you to reveal yourself to us. We want to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We want to continue to allow the work of sanctification that you do to happen in us. Sure, our job is to read. Sure, our job is to preach, to teach, to share. But as we grow, our job is to submit. Our job is to submit to you, to your authority in our lives, to your presence in our lives. And you will lead, guide, and direct us. Thank you for revealing us your glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, for sending him not to us, but to live in us. So God, open our eyes, open our hearts to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.